Now, don't be characters, Bob and Ray.
And now Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. And we have a few extra minutes today. We thought we could devote here at the beginning of the program to questions from the audience.
Well, of course, as you can imagine, a lot of people have questions about our program, our cast, and our studio activities, and this would be the time to answer some of them. Let me take the microphone down here and see who we have in our audience who would be interesting to talk to. I don't know who we can speak to.
Not him.
No.
Let's
see. Oh, okay. How about him?
Okay. Hiya, Bob.
How are you?
Good.
Let me shake your hand there. Then you can go home and say you shook my hand.
All right. Oh, boy.
It's a thrill, isn't it?
Well, I know you're only kidding, but it really is.
I've seen you in our audience before. You're almost a regular here. Two or three days a week you're sitting there.
A bit. Quite often. Bob, I want to ask you a question. Do you know what year they built the Coliseum out there in Los Angeles? I have a little bet going. I wondered if you know.
I don't know the exact year. I think Ray might know it. Let me ask him. He's up on stage now doing the baked potatoes. Ray?
Yeah?
Are potatoes done?
No.
Do you know when the Coliseum in Los Angeles was built?
I think it was built for the 1933 Olympics around there.
Does that answer your question, sir?
It's not very definite.
Well, that's what he thinks, anyway.
It looks older than that.
About the best answer.
I was looking at it at the World Series, and it looked old. It looked as old as the Coliseum
in Rome.
Well, what year was that built, incidentally?
That was about 1931, I think. Or 30. Do you know, Ray?
What?
The Roman Coliseum.
Oh, that was built before the First World War, 1912.
So. Yeah, at least that, sir.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Anything else we can help any of you people on? How about this little lady here who's got a nice smile? Ma'am, do you have a question?
Oh, my pickle cat was wonderful.
Huh? Yeah?
His name was Pickle Blossom. He named himself. Because his fur was so soft, like that of the purple part of a thistle blossom.
Yeah.
And little fingernails are like the prickles around the outside.
Oh, well, about a question for
him. He got to live in New everything.
Uh-huh.
He can do all sorts of things, and he can almost talk.
Well, they're wonderful.
Thistles were the wonderful little cat.
Mm-hmm.
He knew so much.
Potatoes right
here. Yeah, better table manners than you do all your children. I told him to eat slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little kitten.
Is that a cat?
I just let him take one piece of meat at a time.
A real boring here.
And
yeah.
I tell him to chew it
well.
And I make my jaw sore so I chew it. He learned for the next.
Stuff of cheese on those baked potatoes?
If I said, all right, he swallowed.
I like them that way, marshmallows.
If I said chew it some more, he'd chew it some more.
Yeah.
And he could take
Bob, who is the wind bag?
I don't know who she is.
He'd pull it with his right paw. He'd tip over the grass.
You know what 1 minute costs on radio?
Ma'am, your time is almost up.
Then he would claw it.
Oh.
Yeah.
He got the cover off.
Dryer!
That means smile.
Yeah. Oh, smile.
Curl the corners of his mouth up and back.
A cat?
That smile.
We're to that, huh?
And he knew a waltz when he heard it on the radio.
Oh, come on. She doesn't seem to have any questions.
My foot would sit down in front of me. That might pick me up.
Uh-huh.
So I'd pick it up.
Well, you've been more painted than I have. I'd have hit him with my microphone.
No, wait. It's getting interesting now. I'm kind of,
And,
what else?
Crystal died.
Oh.
In March.
Yeah.
12th, I think, or 11th.
Too bad.
1929.
Oh. Well, I want to thank you very much for chatting with us. Ray, it seems as if... Let me come back up on stage.
You know, I think we're an awful blunder. Leading with our chin going out to the audience that way. You never know who you're going to talk to.
No, but that's part of the fun of it. The thrill of meeting people face-to-face and coming up with whatever you can with them, you know.
Well, that's part of CBS Radio, too. Everywhere you go, it is CBS Radio. So why don't all of you folks listening just to make it a plan now to stick your dial right here at your CBS station, because that's where you'll get all the wonderful world of CBS Radio.
Yes, we have good programs.
Best in news, as you know, and the programs are tip-top.
Well, I mean, look at this show.
Oh, ho, ho. And we're typical. Well, I wouldn't say that.
No, because that cast aspersions
right.
on some of the others.
Well, let's leave it this way. Set your dial where it is right now and keep it there if you want the best in radio.
Now then, we have Mr. Wedley Webster of the book department of the Bob and Ray Enterprises, who was here with...
Bob, it wasn't broken.
What wasn't?
My nose.
Oh, good.
No, the doctor x-rayed it, and he said it was just like a sprain. It's like a punch there.
A sprained nose?
Cartilage.
Oh, I see. Is it painful at all? Or?
He said my profile has been altered a little.
Let me see. Turn around.
Right.
Let me take a look.
Well, that's not too bad.
Well, cut it out.
Well, that won't happen again because, you know, we've taken that invisible shield out.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
No, now we're free right in front of the audience. Please.
Bob, I've been reading a book that's wonderful. I recommend it for all your listeners, kids and old folks, to everybody. It's written by Milton Gross, though he's a sports editor of New York Post.
Yeah.
And it's called 18 Holes in My Hat.
Hey, that's a good title. That must have to do with golf, I guess, doesn't it?
And it has 148 pages,
mm-hmm.
375, so let's see how much is out of page.
Well, we don't have to go into all that. You have read it, and I plan now to have
right.
your players do a scene from it.
The Wesley Webster players are downstairs now in the studio, all set to reenact what I think is the most interesting part. 18 holes in my hat.
Good.
Go ahead, downstairs.
Delightful party, lady.
Colonel?
Oh, yeah, I beg your pardon, ma'am. Yes.
Colonel?
Yes.
Don't alarm the ladies, but the regiment has been called up.
What do you say?
We are to meet at the crossroads.
But
15 minutes. Please, don't alarm the ladies. They're having such a wonderful time.
It's Sir Randolph. We're just in the middle of our party.
When the king calls us, we must answer his call.
Yes. Well, I'll try to make excuses, but...
Please, hurry. From the utmost importance.
Yes, yes.
I'll go.
Yes, of course.
Tell the others.
Tell the men I'll be there shortly.
Aye.
Sorry.
Oh, what? Oh, lady! Yes. The regiment has been called up!
I believe I've left the cat out of the bag.
She's
fainted. She's fainted.
Oh, there you have it.
18
Holes in My Head by Milton Gross. You get it at your bookstore.
And that was a scene from that
book?
I don't
that's
see how.
That's only one scene or a million. That's great.
I don't
great.
Know how that would fit, but I guess it does if you give us a review.
Right.
In that form.
Right.
And then this morning, as we were rehearsing tonight's show, we said that this would be a good time to hear about CBS phonograph, didn't we?
Yeah.
Bonjour, I am Jacques Leroy, expert on the stereophonic phonograph. I will now clear up this whole subject. S'il vous plaît, listen to ordinary stereo. A girl crossing the street. Eh bien, now on Columbia Stereo 1. Oh, that was a pretty girl crossing the street. Quelle différence! The fantastic Columbia Stereo 1 phonograph gives you all the realism and excitement of a live performance. Walk in a moment, mademoiselle. Oh, la la. Oh, pardon. You see, only Columbia has exclusive stereo projection. Not just a few separated speakers, I know, but multiple speakers that send interlocking circles of sound through every inch of the room. See the Columbia Phonograph Man tout suite. Columbia Stereo 1 Portable start at $39.95, cancels from $129.95. Attendez, ma chérie! Wait for me!
That music in stereo this year.
Yes.
Thank you, Frenchie.
With his theme, Old MacDonald Had a Farm, E-I-E-I-O, once again we introduce the Bob and Ray Director of Agriculture and Farm Topics from the Lackawanna, New York Field Station, Mr. Dean Archer Armstead. Hello, Dean.
Hello, Bob. Hello, everyone.
Do you have a guest with you today?
Bob, this fellow's standing here in overall. I've tabled him.
Hank, nice to make your acquaintance.
Hank, we've been charged with
very nice knowing you.
Just a second, Hank. Just a second. Hank was in charge of the compost. up at the Lackawanna station.
At the experimental station?
Hank, I wonder if we come up here now and explain to Bob and to Ray, too, if he cares, and to the audience.
Yes, go ahead.
Should you put a bell in there? Well, Hank, there are some very wonderful, interesting thoughts for a compost pile, and we have one of the most successful, you know. We use the tomato vines.
I know you do.
We use wood cravings, sawdust, and everything.
Well, in the past years, this has worked out very well. I know that experimentally, you began doing this 4 or 5 years back.
You find, and leaves we use too. Do you find that this is the best thing in the world, and next spring we'll put on your flower bed?
Oh, say, Dean, that,
Hank, no, Hank Hazel, ladies and gentlemen.
Grass, cuttings, and, any life of that, would be very good in your compost heap.
Well, Hank,
grass cuttings,
Hank, could you tell us this? How often could a fellow get out and stir it up? Or, I mean, once nature takes over and starts working?
We recommend about once every 2 or 3 weeks.
What's the matter with me? Todd's got a funny...
He's got a funny microphone for me.
Once every 2 or 3 weeks, Hank?
Stir it up, right?
That's about right, yeah.
Hank Hazel, ladies and gentlemen, and overalls. We're nice having you here, and we'll bring it back, and if we ever have any questions,
And I'm sure Dean will take you back in the station wagon.
On the compost. Let us know.
You're still doing the early morning show up there, Dean?
Yeah, that's right, Bob. I don't know if I can do it this winter, though, because I'm somebody with a big deal of work around.
So what?
I've got a lot of steam. I said that I'll tell you steam.
Yes. We've been listening to Dean Archer on Sib of the Lackawanna, New York Field Station, Robin Ray's agriculture director.
Wonderful. Just think, all the way down to Lackawanna, and they didn't spend more than 3 or 4 minutes.
I know. Well, that's part of the expense we go to present a good program.
Yeah, that's so true. And let's see. I wonder how that lady is, and what was the name of her cat?
Well, that shows you now.
She's asleep.
Thistle, I think it was.
Yeah. She's asleep now. Wouldn't you know it?
Yeah, well, you told a long story there.
If anyone else in the audience is going to suggest we go out in the audience again.
Well, you know there isn't any audience there. I mean, it's kind of make-believe.
No, it isn't, Bob.
Uh-huh.
Now, come on. You did this the other day, and you had everyone. You had the mail coming in here by the...
What do they say? I saw that pile of mail come in.
It said, Bob and Ray, you can't fool us. We know that there are 4 or 5 in your cast, and that you have an audience. People have been waiting in some instances for over a year to get tickets to your show.
Yeah.
The orchestra has been seen plenty of times.
That's a real conductor. Pierre Chateaubriand is a real conductor there.
And so we know. So that's the essence of the mail.
Okay.
So let's not kid the people anymore.
All right.
Okay, audience. Sit back and relax.
Tomorrow we'll undoubtedly have another college song say with Natalie Attired. And we may have a movie star guest here.
We hope so, and at least we're working on that now. We did tell you about some of the cancellations we had on the show the other day.
Yeah.
Like the melee and ballet. Is there anything else that we want to...
The high diver has pooped out.
That's right. The high diver couldn't make it.
Popped out.
It's a feature that's not too well designed for radio anyway, but Bob can describe it usually very effectively, but he won't be here, so it's needless for us to even talk about it. It's impossible.
I think we may be able to get somebody shot out of a cannon before long.
That's right. And anyway, we'll have a word from our engineer in just 10 seconds.
Now is today's word from our engineer.
Better use the other microphone. That one's dead.
Thank you very much.
And until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you all to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
Tomorrow, for the Gary Moore Show, it's the CBS Radio Network. CBS Radio Network.